Hi, this is ESPN's Dave Lamont, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We really appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching and listening, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, or pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts in audio-only form, you can find us. Today we're talking East Carolina Pirate basketball. A major roster overhaul is taking place under new head coach Mike Schwartz and staff. And right now to discuss that and the coaching change, the roster overhaul, welcome back in from now on Three Sports, in addition to Absolute Basketball, Jamie Shaw. Jamie, we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Bubba, I always appreciate you bringing me on. I enjoy talking Pirate basketball.
Absolutely. Always appreciate your time and insight, a wealth of information. And I know there's some members of this class that you don't know a whole lot about, but a little over half of them you're very familiar with and can tell Pirate Nation what they have to look forward to in the coming years. But, before we dive into the roster overhaul, why don't you just tell us your thoughts? I know you're familiar with Mike Schwartz from his days at Tennessee. You've had some interaction with Coach. Mm-hmm. So talk about Coach, and then we'll dive into the staff that he assembled.
Yeah, so I've known Mike for probably 8 years or so. Since his time at Tennessee, did a great job there. The thing that I can say that Michael bring is he's a tireless worker. He's somebody that's going to pay close attention to the fine details of everything within a program. And he's going to build a good culture. He's a culture guy. He's a guy who wants a strong locker room, strong leadership, and he'll provide strong leadership himself as well. Stand-up guy, tireless worker. It was a very, very good hire for East Carolina. I'm kind of excited to see how quickly and how this builds over these next couple of years.
No doubt. The more I've heard about Coach Schwartz and the more I've heard him speak, the more I've liked the hire, as you just referenced. And, with Coach Schwartz, he obviously has very strong Rick Barnes ties to his time at Texas, where he got his coaching start after his playing days, and then also obviously to there at Tennessee, but also very strong ties to Frank Haith. And that's one of the things that I like about him, that he has significant experience in a variety of roles, different parts of the country, and under several head coaches.
Yeah, no, you talked to talked to Mike, and he swears by Rick Barnes, gave him his opportunity in the business and grew him and groomed him. And obviously Rick played a big piece in Mike getting this opportunity. Obviously Mike got it on his own merits. He deserved the job and earned the job. Rick went to bat for him and, vouched for him and everything with that as well. Mike's been through the ringer. I mean, he started low and worked his way on up the ladder. And had incredible success at Tennessee as the associate head coach, both on the recruiting side, game planning side, getting the players ready, running some practices, and getting all that type of stuff together. He's been through it all, and now he's ready, I guess, to run his own program.
You talk about his time at Tennessee. One of the things he received a lot of credit for, both from Rick Barnes, which obviously stands out the most, but then also college basketball analysts around the country, and that is the Volunteers' defense, so successful. And Coach Schwartz was the, quote, defensive coordinator.
Yeah, no, he played a huge role. Rick Barnes allows his assistants – a very heavy hand when it comes to the game planning and all that type of stuff within the program. Mike played a heavy role in the game planning and in the schemes that Tennessee ran that had all the success that they saw, the NCAA tournaments and the development of pros and all that type of stuff. Mike had a very heavy hand in that at Tennessee over these last few years.
And as we slowly over these next couple minutes start to talk about the pieces that Coach Schwartz and staff have added to this East Carolina roster, you see a lot of length and athleticism. And that's something that certainly, you know, goes hand in hand with his the style that he's recruiting to. But before we dive into that, something else you heard about Coach Schwartz were his international ties. And you're already starting to see some flavor on this international, on this roster, some international flavor with multiple guys with France ties. And then also most recently, the eighth commitment of this class, eighth scholarship player, that is, and that's Valentino Pinedo, 6'7", Spaniard.
Yeah, so it's always good when you're able to get a, widen your base. If you have trusted people overseas that you can have players come into. I know that like Vescovi at Tennessee came from the NBA Academy and all that. There's talent everywhere all across the world. If you can go overseas and grab a player who's talented and can help you win, that's just an added bonus.
And you certainly can't generalize. I mean, but, across the board, a lot of times, it seems as though some of the international players, they're pretty fundamentally sound.
Yeah, no, I mean, the international players, I guess, are kind of like American players in the same. They have their own developmental curve as well as most. The thing that you'll find about the international players is a lot of times their recruitments are not as heavy as other people. So you can go overseas and land a very good player who maybe not a lot of Division I programs have necessarily seen because they don't have that international experience, international ties. They don't go overseas and really look at players like that. So, everybody has their own developmental curve when it comes to basketball and stuff. But, on the overseas thing, you could get a couple players from trusted sources without much of a battle or a fight.
Starting to take a look at this 2022 class, Tennessee transfer Quentin DeBunge, 6'5", 217 pounds. He played minimally for the Vols last year. Obviously, Tennessee had so much success. I think Quentin played in 7 ball games, a total of 35 minutes. He's a guy that's very talented. Obviously, Coach Schwartz loves what he sees out of Quentin, and Quentin didn't want to hang around there at Tennessee and, have to buy his time when he could transfer and play for Coach Schwartz at East Carolina and see significant minutes in a hurry.
Yeah, no, and you mentioned the length and athleticism, and that's what Quentin has. He's going to come in and be an energetic guy who has some developing skill set, but an energetic guy with length and athleticism that fits right into the league that ECU is in. This is almost kind of a DNA overhaul. When it comes to that type of stuff, the previous maybe East Carolina rosters, they had some talent, but they didn't necessarily fit the DNA of what the league has with all the length and athleticism. Well, Quentin comes in here and he fits that DNA of what the conference has, what these other teams are putting on the floor. And as he continues to develop, continues to get stronger and get game reps, really just get in game and get game reps. He was a late bloomer coming out of high school. I believe when I was he was late into the rankings and all that type of stuff as well. But his best basketball is ahead of him, and he kind of fits the mold of what the league has. And, that length and athleticism that Schwartz is looking for with this new roster.
The other transfer, when I say transfer, there are a couple more transfers, but the other – Division I transfer, Iowa State product, Jaden Walker. He's a guy that was very highly regarded coming out of high school. Played for, I think, a couple coaching staffs here at Iowa State, if I'm not mistaken. But during his first year with the Cyclones, started 9 ball games, played in 22. This year, Iowa State obviously had such a successful run in the NCAA tournament. He played in 14 games, did not start any. But he was a guy that over his 2 seasons averaged about 3 points a game, and 12 to 15 minutes.
Yeah, at 6'4", 6'5", he can create shots, which is a big thing. Now, obviously, at Iowa State, he didn't make as many of them. He shot better in his second year than he did in his first year. But he comes in with a reputation of being able to create shots. He plays with a good pace. He may not be as explosively athletic, but he's got great length and positional size at 6'4", 6'5". And, you know, as he continues to get more reps, continues to get in games more, continues to do more of that, the shot will become more consistent. The form's there, the pace is there, all that type of stuff. So as he continues to get more confident in his role and his spots, you know, at 6'4", 6'5", the scoring should be, should up itself. The consistency of shot making should up itself because he's able to create those opportunities within two and three dribbles and get to his spots and get to his comfort zones.
One of the things that Coach Schwartz said that really stood out to him and the staff about Jaden is his ability to rebound the basketball as a bigger guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the physicality that comes kind of within this league. Is you're going to need to be able to rebound the ball at least four out of five positions. And, you know, being able to stick your nose in there and come away with an extra possession is a significant factor.
You know, moving on, I know a guy that you didn't know as much about, but while we're on the transfers, wanted to mention him, and that's Benjamin Baiela. He has those French ties at 6'6", 190 pounds. Shooting guard, and probably can also play the three, but you know, Oklahoma State was in the mix prior to him getting injured and other such programs. So he's a guy that some programs cooled on once he sustained that knee injury, but by all accounts, you know, is recovering from that well, and obviously the coaching staff has no reason to believe otherwise. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be where we are.
Yeah, no, again, it goes into that positional size. I mean, 6'5 at the 2-3, 6'6, 6'5 at the 2-3 is great positional size. And now all of a sudden you're starting to trot a roster out there, put a roster out on the floor that looks like they belong in this conference with the physicality and their size.
Let's move on to the high school products, a lot of whom you know an awful lot about. And let's start off with the point guard. Saxby Sunderland out of Virginia, the greater D.C. area, I believe. But Saxby is you know, very talented, and Coach Schwartz said that his recruitment, you know, had been pretty heavy, but he's the guy that he felt was hurt by the transfer portal slash everything, you know, that was going on with some of the scholarship and eligibility effects of COVID.
Yeah, so Sunderland, for me, I think he's more of an off-the-ball guy. I don't know if he's necessarily a point guard. I've only seen him play off the ball, but what he has done is he's a shot maker. He's a smooth shooter. He knows he can get into his mid-range one, two dribbles, plays with a great pace. He's probably about 6'2"-ish, maybe 6'3"-ish, 6'2"-ish, somewhere around there, but can really shoot the ball. He's got a really smooth jump shot, very confident in it. It extends out well beyond the three-point line. And he's able to take it. Now, he could probably act as a secondary-type ball handler, maybe get you into some sets, restart the offense, and things like that. But his most impressive thing about him was the shot-making ability.
You know, while we're up in that region, let's talk about a guy who, you know, very skilled for a 6'8", big, and that's Elijah Jones. He has tremendous range, and Coach Schwartz and staff said that's one of the things that really stood out to them in the recruiting process. And he's a guy that's originally from New Jersey before, you know, playing at Mount Zion.
Yeah, Jones is he's a lengthy, bouncy athlete. So, you know, he can make a jump shot and everything. He's going to have to tighten up the fundamentals, get the footwork down a little bit, get the balance together. You know, but that'll come with reps. That'll come with in-game stuff. But where he really affects the play right now is with his athleticism and his activity. He has a high motor. He's able to go rebound the basketball. He can play defense, move his feet, and protect the rim a little bit. Weak size shot blocker. But his activity level and his motor with his length and athleticism is his greatest trait right now. And the jump shot looks promising. It looks like he can, you know, develop into that being something that he can rely on at the next level.
And that's something we can touch on a little bit more later on, but Coach Schwartz, I love the fact that he seems very open to, you know, playing positionless basketball. He said, hey, if I have a five that can bring the ball down the court, that's perfectly okay with me as long as, you know, he's effective at doing so. So having guys that are flexible and versatile is something that this staff is really seeking. But another 6'8 guy that's very versatile from right here, Liberty Heights in North Carolina, and then I guess what originally Georgia, and that's Ezra Asar, 6'8", 230 pounds. And I know you felt as though he may have been the top guy in this class. From the state of North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, we got Ezra ranked in the 80s in the top 100. He's a top 100 player, four-star prospect. He's 6'8", 240 pounds. Puts his elbow at the rim, super athletic. But you speak of that positional versatility. He initiated the offense a lot for his high school team. He was able to grab the rebound and push the ball at the floor, get his team into sets. He's an excellent passer. His high school team would put him in different positions on the floor, the wing, the high post, the mid post, and they would run actions through him, and he would find the open man with the pass. He's probably the best rebounder in the region as well, averaged about 11.5 rebounds per game this season. He's just an overall – the jump shot's a little bit of a question, but at 6'8", 240 pounds, you know, you don't necessarily really worry about that because he's getting downhill. He's able to post up. He's got good stuff on the block. And the jump shot will come around because it's just a confidence thing. But his versatility and ability to initiate offense, to push the break, to bring the ball up the floor, to find teammates, and his ability to rebound and defend multiple positions. He could defend – he's probably a true four. He can defend the three. He can defend – switch down to the five. For his high school team, he would actually defend the point. Like, he would play the point of attack on their trapping defense, full-court trapping defense, and he'd play at the top at the trap. His versatility is just off the charts, and that plays right into what you're just talking about with what Mike's trying to do.
If you would, tell us – I know I've seen the list, but in addition to East Carolina, obviously – wasn't Wichita State and some other pretty reputable programs, you know, in the mix for Ezra?
Yeah, Wichita State, Texas A&M, Providence had come in, UMass, off the top of my head, they were all involved.
Another player that the Pirates got from the region is preferred walk-on Colin McKenzie out of Charleston, South Carolina, out of First Baptist, 6'6", averaged 22-plus in high school during his senior season and shot over 40% from three. And I know he's a guy that had some Division I offers from the likes of Maine, et cetera.
Yeah, so Colin's a Division I player. He's somebody who got, I guess, caught up in the COVID mix, kind of went a little bit unseen, but he produced at a high level. He was – conference player of the year, all-state type guy out of South Carolina, played in the same conference that Josiah James, Aaron Neesmith, those guys played in down in Charleston, South Carolina. He's 6'6". He shoots the cover off the ball. He can shoot it off movement, shoot it off the catch. He's also pretty athletic. Can do an array of you know, East Bays and 360 dunks and all that type of stuff going toward the rim. His dad played football at Furman. His sister's a cross-country runner at Charleston Southern, so he's athletic family. Not very much of a surprise. That he's as successful in sports as he is. But he's somebody that could develop. He's thin. So he's somebody who could develop once he gets on campus, gets in the weight room, gets on the nutrition program and all that type of stuff, puts on some weight. He could find his way into the lineup. There's a lot of stuff to like there with what he brings to the floor, brings to the table at 6'6", with his ability to really shoot the ball and make shots at a high level. And it'll be interesting to track what he looks like in two and a half years from now within the college program.
And in addition to Colin, the Pirates will also be adding another walk-on into the mix, one that you're not as familiar with, Josh Stewart out of Concord, North Carolina. He actually played a prep season up at the South Kent School for Rafael Chilius, who had been a member of Joe Dooley's staff for multiple seasons prior to moving back up to the Northeast. But so these – guys are going to be added into the mix. You obviously have Luigi DeBoe, R.J. Felton, Winston Tabbs, Javon Small, and Brandon Johnson, in addition to David Katsunganai, They're going to be returning pieces on the 2022-2023 East Carolina roster. But really appreciate your time this afternoon, Jamie. And, you know, before we wrap things up, you know, tell folks, remind them where they can follow your work there with On3 Sports and then also with Absolute Basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's all On3. Make sure you check it out, on3.com. That's O-N and the number 3. It's right here, as you can see, on3.com. Make sure you check that out. It's the latest recruiting website. The same guy who created Rivals.com, the same guy who created 247. Well, On3 is his latest creation. We started 6 months ago, and I am the national recruiting analyst for the site. So make sure you check it out. All the football information you need, all the basketball information you need. We're growing team sites. I think we're up to maybe 24, 25 team sites now. And that's going to keep growing every month or two with what we add on. So make sure you check it out, on3.com. On Twitter, it is on3sports, as you see down there on the bottom. Also, on3recruits on Twitter. It's also on Instagram as well, on3recruits. And then myself, at Jamie Shaw 5. So make sure you check that out also, too. Make sure you check out Tipton Edits, Joe Tipton. He's on the national team with me at On3, Tipton Edits, at Tipton Edits, for all the breaking news in the recruiting world. He's at the top of the game with it as well. So we're very proud about what we're building at On3. Make sure that you check it out, and make sure you check us out on Twitter and everything, too. But thank you, Bubba. It's always, always awesome to be on.
Going to be very interesting to see how everything unfolds with the 2022-2023 season. Obviously, so many new pieces, going to have a very young roster with not a lot of proven scoring, but certainly a lot of talent coming into the fold. So we'll be interesting to see how the initial season under Mike Schwartz and staff goes in Greenville. But for Jamie Shaw, I'm Bob Rosenbaum. You've been watching and listening to The Sports Objective. Remember to follow us on social media, on Twitter and TikTok at TheSportsOBJ, on Instagram at The Sports Objective. Like and follow us on Facebook. And, of course, subscribe to our YouTube channel and be sure to ring the notification bell so you're alerted whenever we post new content. But, as always, Pirate Nation, we appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you real soon. Take care.